The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Danielle Maxwell.
It's good to be here.
You have been awake for a very long time.
I have been. Yes, Taylor's new album came out at midnight, so we had to do a midnight listening session. And then my husband had to go to the airport, so we had to wake up at 4 a.m. So I got 3 hours of sleep, though I did take a 20-minute nap in my office today.
You want some coffee?
I had no coffee today.
Welcome to the Vampire Club.
Thank you.
Wow, I do not know how that's going.
It's that youthful glow from Taylor Swift.
Exactly. You're on a Taylor high.
I'm on a Taylor high.
Professor Beth Olgier is here from the Department of Philosophy, and we found the screwdriver on the floor under the chair. Otherwise, it looks like you're prepared with like a cell phone and a screwdriver.
Oh,
that's
weapon.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, Dan gets snarky or something, I'm
Dan.
Go.
Oh, and I should be really careful, listeners. It is the tool. It is not a drink that is on the benchtop here.
That would be better.
You think a screwdriver would be better?
But speaking, I mean, Drew and I have been completely decaffeinated now for several weeks.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, he has to do it for surgery, and I'm being the supportive spouse.
Oh, aren't you nice?
Well, I don't want to have two coffee makers. That's too much.
Screw it. Do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How,
no.
Is that haiku?
I say no.
It's better. It's better for my heart anyway. So. No, we're drinking decaf, and I guess I'm just kind of mentally tricking myself. But it hasn't, other than the headaches, the caffeine deprivation headaches, it hasn't been too bad.
Okay.
We went to half caffeine first.
And okay.
I prefer a more jittery you, quite frankly.
Really?
Oh my God.
Well, there are many, many things that can make me jittery, so.
You're a little bit too subdued, and I don't like it.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the FIRST organization. We haven't seen you in a couple weeks. How's the northern part of the Lower Peninsula?
So I didn't go up north yet.
Oh!
I am going up in a couple weeks.
I was
in Pennsylvania with family and friends.
Got it.
Then I was in Stratford, Ontario.
Always nice.
What'd you see?
For some culture. I saw Dangerous Liaisons, Annie, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, my gosh.
Which apparently they can make into a musical.
Yes.
They can make anything into a musical.
And Ransacking Troy.
Wow.
Which was good, actually. Annie was the best.
No Shakespeare?
Very nice.
Or was there not Shakespeare?
My friends stayed through Sunday. I did not. They saw As You Like It. So.
Okay.
Could we make Ask the Professor into a musical?
We probably could.
I don't see why
probably
not.
Could. Anything can be turned into a musical now that we have Back to the Future.
He has
musical.
Attempted to sing.
I mean, there's been a few times.
Have you gotten your tickets yet?
Don't have my tickets yet.
He's writing the score, for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But
so, yeah.
Some things lend themselves to musicals. Some things do not.
There was a really good riff on this, even though it was a few years ago, in the short-lived streaming series for Hawkeye, as in the superhero in the Marvel Universe. They turned the Avengers into a musical from within the show.
Because Jeremy Renner can sing.
Yeah, and he goes to it, and he's like hiding his face the whole time because it's so bad. You should at least look it up on YouTube, Dan. It'll make you laugh very hard. If Captain America was a musical, like overdone, what would it look like, you know?
He sounds like more of a boy band singer, though. He has a nice voice.
He has a nice voice.
It's not that. It just was not what I 100%. Expected exactly from Jeremy Renner.
Maybe we should request some questions about musicals.
I think that sounds like a fine idea, especially musicals that are more recent additions
recent,
to the mix.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies, and I think that we just found out that you prefer some of the older material.
Well,
the classics.
I mean, ones that I can remember.
I just don't understand. I
haven't been able to get to New York as much lately.
Exactly.
I still belong to the TDF, but I just haven't been able to get to New York lately.
Sure.
Oh, Funny Girl's the best one ever. So
you just want to relive your Diana Rigg days. That's all.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Exactly. Phantom of the Opera is coming.
I did see that. Did see
in
that.
February.
It's been a while.
Yes.
That's been around.
Is Barbara Streisand in it? Probably not, so who cares? Just saying.
And all Chittery right. Beth is coming out.
I'd kind of like to see the one that Jonathan Groff is doing.
Oh, I adore him. Yes.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Stuff. He's so good as King George III in Hamilton.
Yes.
And I wish that I could tell you it would be, you know, a lot. How many people have said you have to drop everything you're doing and go see Hadestown as like the, you know, inheritance of Hamilton, like keep
yes.
good new musicals going forward. Mm-hmm. So haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Well, there's, you know, they're struggling. They're not making money. The
right.
the musicals right. now on Broadway. They're yep.
oh no,
they're struggling for yeah, that. Right. I mean, they're charging yeah. a lot for the tickets, but it's not covering certainly. All their expenses.
That's right.
Gone up and up and
that's
up.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's try this out, Professor right. Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be
Department
here.
Department of Berkeley,
as always.
What was the last musical that you went to go see?
Oh, good Lord.
And was it a Viking-themed seventh?
No, I'm trying to think.
Seven-year-old's birthday party.
It might have been... Well, I was joking with Dan about Spamalot. That might have been it.
Oh, well, that's that was, great. That was so even good. Monty Python could be yeah. turned into a
see?
Musical.
See, that's what I'm saying. Anything could be converted.
Absolutely.
Spamalot at the Fisher, if I remember right.
I loved Kinky Boots when it was
yeah.
here.
Well, see, there's twice. Another one that's really good. Yeah, see, you have a taste for the modern stuff, Jim. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Usually like quirky, that's all.
Yeah. So, Dan, just to quickly update you and any listener that may have missed that episode so far, we asked Dave about what he was doing before our last recording, and he said that he was at a seven-year-old's birthday party, and he said it was themed. And we're like, oh, what was the theme? He goes, Vikings, I'm pretty sure. And we're all like, wow, like of all the things, Spider-Man, superheroes, you know, video game, like Viking. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant... How to Train Your Dragon.
Not the Minnesota Vikings.
Not like general Vikings.
Well,
just
or the
like...
show, the TV show Vikings, which is pretty
which is really
violent.
Good. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good.
Come on,
quite violent.
You got to admit, violent. When you walk into a backyard and you see like 10, 20 kids with shields and swords.
I know. The theme is
you know,
Vikings.
And I want to set them adrift on fire and push them into a lake.
Did, so did they have a dragon there?
No, they didn't.
What?
What?
Not even
they were
like
imagining
a static
no
dragon?
Toothless is the star of
Toothless
the movie.
They
the
probably
dragon.
Had one, but I didn't see it. So.
Unbelievable.
They had the band Imagine Dragons.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Imaginary.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Continuing around the table, spicy as his shirt, it's Professor Stephen Manning from the Department of Being
Mr.
Retired.
Sriracha hot sauce.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I think I already asked you when we were at that last taping, you know, what was the theme of your seven-year-old birthday party and whatever. It didn't go as comedically for everybody when I asked as I was envisioning.
You know, we didn't have birthday parties. We didn't have, like, graduation from the fourth grade parties, stuff like that. You know, Grandma sent us a pair of socks she knitted, and that was pretty much it.
And you're thankful for it.
So you didn't, like, hang out with friends around your birthday? Like,
yes.
Then you read a chapter from Dickens to make you feel a little better.
Performed a chapter from Dickens.
This is the world's tiniest violin.
Oh, no.
In my family, my mother was 2 days older than my dad. And it was,
oh.
And my brother, my younger brother, was on one of their two birthdays, which were on July 3rd and July 5th.
Oh, my gosh.
So July 4th weekend was like a big
party
birthday
time.
Thing and fireworks and stuff. But
okay,
I was born in September, so I, that didn't
So there
count.
Was no celebration for you.
You were the letdown.
I just don't remember ever getting...
Well, there was
I can't tell you a simple
involved.
Thing.
Fire.
Yeah, I can't
got
tell you
fire.
A single birthday present I remember getting.
Oh.
I probably did, but
right.
it was kind of low-key, and I think for my...
Well, your retirement party made up for all of it.
Right. That is exactly right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Those, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Heather Hill from the Department of English.
Hi.
How are you? That was a very nice party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
It made up for all the forgotten.
And it was
birthdays.
A surprise party.
Yes. Surprise parties are tough.
It almost wasn't. So that's
yeah, it almost wasn't. Right. That's right. Yeah. I got a COVID shot yesterday.
And how you doing?
I took a 2.5 hour nap today. It
Absolutely.
Really knocked me.
Absolutely.
I don't.
Well, you
I tried
made up for the sleep that Danielle didn't get.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried a few weeks ago. I tried to get.
Mm-hmm.
I got the flu, and they wouldn't give me the COVID
oh,
because, you know.
She's young and healthy.
But now, apparently, I'm
yeah.
You've aged enough in the week or whatever.
And to be quite frank,
it swung one way.
The fake ID card did.
You gave them affidavits of decrepitude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Heather, don't forget your pneumococcal pneumonia, because that's plus 50 plus going forward too. Things
really?
Are getting ugly with pneumonia.
You can get five vaccine shots on one.
Wait a minute, you're saying I'm 50 plus? Is that what you're suggesting?
Remembered recently you said that you were slightly older than I was by a few seconds.
By a few seconds.
That's not the same as the RSV.
Nope.
No, that's different.
Two different things.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, pneumococcal pneumonia, they're recommending for anyone older than 50 now. So,
I got flu, COVID, RSV, shingles, pneumonia, first shingles dose.
So I guess we need to get our RSV and our.
Good Lord. I sent a thing to my doctor about the RSV, and you know, since he's already spent half of the 20 minutes a year he's allotted to see me, he has not returned my.
Oh, my.
You're not selling getting older, any of you.
Not that he's bitter.
He's not exaggerating.
Not at all.
No, my doctor spends a lot of time talking to me.
What is our actual purpose here?
So, yeah, you know, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, including made-up studies about the connection between drugs and all sorts of diseases. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump... Oh, wait. If you stump the panel, you can win the new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug and autographed photograph. If you don't stump the panel, we'll send you the autographed photograph. You can send the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a secret set of questions sent in. They're so secret.
A secret?
That I can't even read them. That's it. It's over.
That's
no,
it.
I can read them.
We all win.
I just can't tell you who they're from.
So he's going to sit there and read to himself.
They're from a secret source.
Secret source. Oh. Professors, as we rapidly approach the Halloween season, frankly, I feel like we've been there. I thought a 15-question set of ghostly teasers was in order. Have fun, and of course, boo.
Boo.
That's so cute.
Adorable.
Which Saturday Night Live character's popularity earned him an animated Halloween special in 2017?
Is it the skeleton?
Not David S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins, yes. Ooh. Absolutely, David S. Pumpkins.
How do I remember that?
Love they put the middle initial in there. I love
have
that.
To.
You share the name with David.
Pardon?
You share the name.
I do.
Pumpkins. That's how you know it.
Well, it was like on Glee. It was Brittany S.
Oh, yeah.
Pierce.
Oh, that's true.
But it.
Like Harry S. Truman.
You said it fast. It was like Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. That's how. Yeah.
Oh. Let's put that together.
I remember Glee inspired a heck ton of Halloween costumes one year because somebody on the show had shoved a giant knife into a box of cereal, making them a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And like we had lots of kids that year that had knives in cereal boxes. Yeah.
Such a great show.
My brother dressed up as that, yeah.
There you go. Who performed the 1962 single Monster Mash? It's been remade many times.
Oh.
Come on. Come on.
He did the mash.
If we sing it,
not Sheb Woolley.
Yeah, that should count.
You want some, you need some coffee to get your brain.
Who
going?
Is it?
Alan
something?
No Alan. No Alan.
Got it.
Something in the somethings?
That it was a something in the somethings era.
Okay.
So that's that.
So it's not question mark in the Mysterians.
Herman's
it's
just what I was thinking of.
It wasn't Herman.
That was one hit.
I know. That's a one hit wonder.
Oh, question mark in the Mysterians. That guy grew up in Royal Oak.
Hold on. It's
sure. I'm surprised. So it's a riff on a classic character actor from movies before that time.
Like a Peter Lorre, Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff. So it was Bobby Boris Pickett and the Blanks who performed the
and
original.
And the Fences?
No, the band is actually mentioned in the song.
And the Mashes and the Pumpkins and the...
Graveyard?
That's good, though. Yeah.
Tombstones.
I mean, Tombstones is close.
Oh.
And the headstones.
They were referred to as the Crypt Kickers. The Crypt Kickers.
Don't remember that line in there, but okay.
Yes. Oh. His vocal group was the Crypt Kicker 5.
That does not ring a bell.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Were they a one-hit wonder, do you think?
I would say that we never heard from them ever again.
I don't see Danielle staying up late waiting
kind
for that
like,
song.
I'm not waiting
that's
for
it.
Them.
That's literally
that's
how...
That's the metric. That's the bar
that's
right there.
That's how the song starts. I was working in the lab late
I don't work
one
in a lab.
Night.
There you go.
You have a lab.
It's not a lab.
That's a good voice. That's a good voice.
You think that's my Boris Karloff? Which of these is not a real place? Halloween Town, Oregon.
That exists.
Pumpkin Center, Indiana. Mm. Frankenstein, Missouri. Tombstone, Arizona.
Frankenstein, Missouri.
Whoa, and that was
sure.
like,
yes.
I'm afraid that you're all incorrect. Halloween Town, Oregon does not exist.
What?
Every one of the other ones does.
No, I thought
so, certainly Tombstone, Arizona. Isn't certainly.
That,
yeah.
You're voted off.
I'm voted off the island. I thought that's why they recorded Halloween Town.
I like Halloween Town.
It's such a good movie.
Oh my God.
There were two of them, weren't there?
There are several.
That's in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it is.
You know where it is in Oregon?
Well, since it doesn't exist, I do not, in fact, know where it is.
Okay. A trick question.
But I know where to get the good pumpkins. We always used to go to Savvy's Island.
Heck yeah.
Pumpkins.
Heck yeah.
Which of these films wasn't directed? I'll tell you what. We'll do the affirmative positive here. Each of the following films was directed by Tim Burton except one. Which is the exception? Frankenweenie, Beetlejuice, Coraline, Edward Scissorhands.
Coraline.
Coraline.
Coraline, yes. That was different. That's exactly correct.
Coraline is kind of creepy.
Super
I remember
creepy.
Taking Olivia to that.
I thought Coraline
she...
was directed by him, I guess.
No.
Someone else, but not him.
The people that did the sewing were from CCS.
The button eyes are the worst.
Right,
yeah,
Coraline
exactly.
is, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It's creepy.
Plus, Coraline, I would say, is sort of like, if you can make a connection to South Park, it's actually animation based on what it would be if they had done the three-dimensional animation. So it's like animated to look like it's little puppets and stuff, but it's not actually little puppets like Nightmare Before Christmas. Kind of weird. The epic music video for Michael Jackson's Thriller was directed by the filmmaker who also helmed what epic movie from the
John
1980s?
Landis.
Yeah, it was John Landis.
Directed?
What did he do? Was it Platoon?
American Werewolf in London.
No, Ghost... No.
No.
Shoot.
Not Ghostbusters.
Deer Hunter, is one like Apocalypse Now? John Landis, what did he
not
what
America,
else?
I know.
I've got a great clue for you.
Deer Hunter.
London.
What else did he do? John Landis?
No, he didn't do Animal House, did he?
Twilight Zone, where he killed somebody.
Two guys just walked in. The first
Blues
one
Brothers.
Asked for a fried chicken, and the other one asked for white bread with nothing on it. It's the Blues Brothers. Yeah, you got it.
You should have said, we're getting the band back together.
We're getting the band back together. Matt the Guitar Murphy. Oh, that's so great.
We're on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
Just like Socrates.
Which stage production is based on the infamous Salem witch trials?
The Crucible.
The Crucible.
The Crucible.
Arthur Miller.
Yes.
It's a good book.
Absolutely. Giles Corey and the Poppet. Which 1932 film is regarded as the first feature-length zombie movie? I bet Dave knows this one.
Nosferatu?
Somehow. No, that's not what it says here.
Oh, Dracula. Okay,
I can give you the hint that it has the word zombie in the title. Always helpful.
Yeah. I'm married a zombie.
Like Zombie NATO.
I taught
zombies.
That's pretty good.
I was going to say Frankenstein, but.
No, because 32 would have been like before 50s schlock. So it was a little more serious, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I want.
March of.
The zombie Takeover.
Mm-mm. The film was called White Zombie, is what it was called. It's a beginning sort of classic of.
It was an allegory for the
horror.
Time period.
Exactly.
Just like The Crucible was.
Exactly.
McCarthy the Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Creator.
Nice.
Thank
nice.
You.
Who knows what plays will come out of this era? I mean, seriously.
Oh, exactly.
According to a 2021 survey, what percentage of Americans say they believe in ghosts?
It's ridiculously
27%.
High.
64%.
82.
80.
72.
I mean, I'm going towards Beth, and she didn't even say a number. A ridiculous number. At least partial credit. It's 41%, and pretty much anything over something else is probably not right. So, yeah,
so 80 41%. Would be ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous.
I mean, 41 is still pretty ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What
yeah, exactly.
I decided to ask the AI today.
Ridiculous.
Somebody said that I got to remember this. Based on the number of people who have a certain level of wealth in the world that's bordering on the trillions, how much is owned by essentially only 10 people, and it's 42 trillion. So just off the top of my head, I go, work for me, AI. How much money
wealth exists on Earth right now, and it's only $450 trillion, just to give you an idea.
Only?
That's all the money of everybody everywhere. Ooh. And $42 trillion of it is owned by only 10 people in the United States.
10%.
2% of our population owns 90% of the wealth.
There you go. So now, does that also take into consideration crypto?
Good question.
Just
saying. I'd never asked anybody before how much money there exists.
That's a paper representation of air.
We've had this one before, and it's very, very, always leads to funny commentary. What was the original name for what we call candy corn? Do you remember?
Oh, chicken feed.
Chicken feed is what it was called. Oh, yes. I mean, it makes sense. They like to eat corn kernels.
I don't think Olivia's going to make a chicken feed sweater.
No, I don't think that would sell very well.
No.
What Frank Sinatra song served as the inspiration for the name of the dog in the very famous cartoon Scooby-Doo?
It's a song called Scooby-Doo.
Wait, hold on. Witchcraft, is it?
Scooby-Doo.
What Frank Sinatra song served as the inspiration for the name of the cartoon dog named Scooby-Doo? He says Scooby-Doo in the song. Exactly.
Scooby-Doo.
You're singing it. You're literally singing the song.
Strangers in the Night.
Strangers in the Night. Oh,
exactly.
I only know one Scooby-Doo song, and that is the theme song.
Which is a pretty good song, by the way.
That's the only one I know.
Totally acid rock.
Those pesky kids.
If it wasn't for the meddling kids.
That's right.
Meddling kids.
What is the name of the hot dog eating green ghost who attacks Bill Murray in the original Ghostbusters?
That? Oh, what is that called? What is he called?
Slimer.
Slimer is his name. That's exactly right.
It wasn't Casper, so I mean.
He's slimy. I feel so funky.
That movie is hysterical.
It's so great.
But the best part of that scene is when Dan Aykroyd has the cigarette in his mouth and then his mouth drops open and the cigarette's sticking to his lip.
The dumbest stuff.
Well, and the opening is all about them losing their funding at university they're teaching at, right?
Dr. Venkman, your methods are specious.
Specious.
I've worked in the private sector. They expect results.
They expect us right.
Please tell me you've seen the original Ghostbusters.
I'm so sorry.
Please.
I have not.
Oh, you have.
I'm so sorry.
That's on the list for this month. Come on. It's spooky month. You got to watch
Stream
Ghostbusters.
It tonight.
You do not need to see the
just
other
the
ones.
First one?
Don't worry about that.
I have a list of movies that have come up from the show, so here it is.
I saw that in a theater when it came out, my brother and I.
Yeah. I know the outfits look like. They're like the brown plumbers.
That's right. The symbol of Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, is a female skeleton in a very fancy hat who has what name? I have a cup with her on it at home.
Lola?
Nope.
Rita.
Rosa.
No, I'm trying to think of someone we know around here who has the same name, but I can't, unfortunately, think about it. Her nickname is La Katrina. She's like the leader of the Day of the Dead, if that makes any sense. But she dresses very fabulously.
La Katrina.
Name three famous residents of the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, the most visited cemetery in the world.
Chopin,
Jim Morrison.
Abelard and Heloise.
Mm-hmm.
A number of them. Oscar Wilde. A great crypt.
Hendrix isn't buried there, I don't think. He's buried in Washington.
Yes. So we've got Morrison and Wilde, but I was looking for one more. The Little Bird of Paris.
Edith Piaf,
yes. Famous singer.
Chopin has a nice grave there.
Nice. Wait, you've been there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Jim Morrison's grave is just covered with offerings.
Things.
Cigarettes and little bottles of booze and joints that people leave around the... It used to have a bust of his head, but it got broken off so many times they just left it all.
Still not quite sure where people got the idea he was a poet.
I mean, he wrote some lyrics.
It
doesn't necessarily say he was a good poet.
To get poet status, you need to be, you know, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think if you take enough drugs, you will be poetically moved by what he wrote.
Sure.
She wrote an album called The Tortured Poet Society.
I used to say in graduate school, yes, but he wasn't a very good poet.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Anybody can be a poet. That's true.
I mean, anybody can be
an
artist.
The Doors were great because of Ray Manzarek, not because of Jim Moore, although he had a decent voice.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the having been at Morrison's grave, because I just relatively recently in the last couple of years realized that for the people who care about these sorts of things. Like Morrison's grave is always covered by stuff. But there's another, there's an American in America, buried in America, whose grave is also always covered with stuff. And it's Edgar Allan Poe's. And I understand that there's a whole bunch of Baltimore Ravens fans that go to his grave marker before every game and then march over to see the Ravens play. Wow. And I just thought, I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool now
that
I think about it.
That's actually my viewing plan for tonight is the Raven with John Cusack. But I also have outside of my downstairs bathroom picture of Poe. It says, I'm just a Poe boy. Nobody loves me.
When I was in grad school, I lived on the west range colonnade, and I was right down the row from the room that Edgar Allan Poe lived in when he was a student there.
Yeah, I still find his life very interesting, and his writing is spectacular.
Well, man, you remember that was one of my greatest high school stunts.
Absolutely, I remember. Well, tell everybody.
Oh, my English teacher was going to play Basil Rathbone's reading of The Raven, one of those. And I just happened to be working at the radio station that morning. I came into the class, and the teacher got called out in the hallway, and I swapped out the record for Vanity Six's Nasty Girl. Waiting for him to drop, comes back in, takes one look. He was going to drop the tone arm down, and I was going to be a hero, but it didn't happen.
Aww.
Because everybody else in the class was cracking up, couldn't believe I had the gall to do that. That's all.
I think that's cool.
And I was the only one with a straight face, and he knew it was me.
Oh, so how long was the suspension?
He let me slide.
Okay.
I was okay.
Professors, each of these is the name of a bone in a human skeleton except one. Which is the exception? Is it radius?
Nope.
Humerus?
That's nope. Good.
Sirius?
Yep.
Sirius.
Coccyx?
Sirius.
Yes. Do not...
Thank you, Father Albright.
Right. Do not crack your coccyx. That hurts.
No, that hurts bad.
Any disc injury in that area.
Absolutely.
Any injury.
Spine injury. No.
And this is great. This actually makes me feel very, very good as an Xer because we sort of, carry the trick-or-treat bag, as so to speak. In 2025, which organization will celebrate 75 years of its trick-or-treat program?
UNICEF.
Raising $200 million for humanitarian aid. UNICEF, absolutely.
Do they still get we got the little orange card.
The little box.
They gave that up, I think, about 15 years ago.
I did it when I was a kid.
Oh, I did it too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The last couple of years, this is not a joke, the kids will have something clipped to their bag with a QR code on it. You just take the picture and you can donate from there. No, that's the way to do it.
Venmo. What?
Because then you don't need to carry the money around.
Like Venmo,
I always felt bad
Cash
for the
app.
Kid, Cash App. Listen to this one.
No. Venmo.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah, darn right.
Oh, I liked my little orange box.
I know, the little orange box was so cute.
I could always raid my dad's change drawer.
The problem is your parents had to have a bowl of candy and a bowl of money,
Yes.
Put in each
Absolutely.
Container.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I saw something on Facebook where somebody is suggesting giving out milkweed seeds for monarchs.
To help the monarch butterfly. You're I don't kidding? Think that's a bad idea. At minimum, you should...
You got any butterfingers?
Butterfly, butterfingers.
Dave was pledging last year to our neighborhood, I think I'm going to give out, corn chowder.
Yeah, always give out corn chowder.
Here, hold your hands.
Ladle full.
Here's some crackers.
I don't understand the, giving apples.
Ask what he gives.
Give him candy and give him the good
Matt,
stuff.
Matt, remember...
Second year, I'll give out hot dogs this year. Not to the kids. I have candy for the kids, but I give hot dogs to everybody that walks
by.
We got
to talk to the other neighbors. I was going to do fried rice. You're going to do hot dogs. We're going to see what the kids are going to do.
Now I know where I'm going on Halloween.
If
you see a big ghost coming by, that's probably me.
Oh, cool.
A hungry ghost. Cool. Going
a hungry ghost.
Man, why is that ghost walking around with Tupperware?
Yeah. Well, I always thought that you were going to have just little Ziploc bags. I'd be like, why do we have a Ziploc bag full of corn chowder? Oh my gosh. Professors, I'm so sorry, but the time has come to say goodbye. Heather.
Bye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Jim.
Farewell.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Bye.
Danielle.
Adios.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.